So it's Mum's Day, and we want to talk a little bit about the importance of godly parenting, and we want to talk to the children as well. And so during the process of our talk this morning, Lynn and I, we're hopefully going to keep their attention a little bit and have some props to help us with that. Because we're going to talk about the importance of godly parenting, but also the importance of children following Mum and Dad's instruction. So we're going to read a text from Proverbs chapter 6, if you have your Bible with us. We're not putting this up on the screen this morning, so if you have your Bible with us, you want to follow these texts, that's great. Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 20 to 23. And this is going to be the basis of our message today. We'll read it first in the New Living Translation, and then Lynn will read it in the Message Bible. This is what it says. My son, obey your father's commands, and don't neglect your mother's teaching. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. Wherever you walk, their counsel can lead you. When you sleep, they will protect you. Their words will protect you. When you wake up in the morning, they will advise you. For these commands and this teaching are a lamp to light the way ahead of you. The correction of discipline is the way to life.
Good friend, follow your father's good advice. Don't wander off from your mother's teachings. Wrap yourself in them from head to foot. Wear them like a scarf around your neck. Wherever you walk, they'll guide you. Wherever you rest, they'll guard you. When you wake up, they'll tell you what's next. For sound advice, it's a beacon. For sound advice is a beacon. Good teaching is a light. Moral discipline is a life path.
Wonderful. So we're going to talk a bit about three areas this morning out of this scripture. And the first is, dad's instructions or dad's commands and mum's teaching. And as a unit together instructing our children. And so this message is for all of us today. It's for the kiddies. It's for the older kids. Because we're all children and many of us have still got our parents here. And it has to do with following their instruction. And so let's begin with dad's instructions, or it actually says here in the scripture, my son, obey your father's commands. What are some of dad's instructions that are key for us as children growing up? We remember when Lynn's sister and her brother came out to stay with us when we lived in South Africa. They came out for 2 weeks holiday.
Her husband.
Did I say?
Her brother.
Oh, Lynn's sister and her husband, sorry. Good start. And they came out to stay with us for 2 weeks and traveled with us and so on. And one of the phrases that they had two little boys, Jack and Ben. And one of the phrases that Paul, as a father, taught that their two boys was this: we share our toys. We like each other. And it was a constant refrain. We share our toys. We like each other, because they wanted to get them into the swing of sharing their books, sharing what they were playing with, respecting one another, and giving them respect for each other and giving them respect for each other's things or each other's property. That's a key thing, isn't it, for us to put into our children? Respect for others and respect for others' property. Another good friend of ours, Grant Crawford, who some of you know, has two older girls and a younger son, whose name is Keegan. And Keegan, like most boys, is a rough and tumble kind of guy, and he arm wrestles with his dad, and they roll on the carpet on the floor, and they do stuff together. But Grant had to teach his little boy that Crawford boys respect their girls or their sisters, and they're gentle with them. And just phrases like that are key for building respect and building respect for others, respect for the opposite sex, respect for people in general, and respect for people's property. Then things like respect for people in authority. Do as your teachers say. Obey their instruction. Listen to your teachers. Just gives our children a respect for authority. Now, the word obedience is sometimes in short supply. It's not very popular in our culture. We prefer often to negotiate, to bargain, or sometimes even to argue rather than obey. But it's a biblical word. And the Bible actually says in Colossians 3 and verse 20 that as we as parents teach our children to obey us, that we're actually encouraging a lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord. Because one of the things that we said in the marriage course last Sunday when we talked about roles of husband and wife is that there's a God-ordained order in family. If you are, I mentioned this again last night to the leaders, apple seeds produce apples, melon seeds produce melons, male seeds produce leaders. And it's actually God's ordained plan that men take the lead in the household in a loving, serving, sacrificial way. But we are to take the lead. And what we've seen over the years in terms of, for Lynn and I with our girls, is often when Lynn can get a bit frustrated trying to get the girls into line or get them to do things when they were younger, I would come in from work and just one simple word from dad or a look or just a sentence and they would be standing to attention. And it wasn't that I would say it harshly or...
He used the same words and said them in the same tone and they did as they were told straight away. Not with me.
And others in this meeting today have said the same thing to us. Why is that? Because there's actually a God-ordained authority in the man. And so... as men, we need to take the initiative with our children, lead them, instruct them, show them the way, and encourage with our wives first-time obedience rather than delayed obedience.
Yeah, we had that fun with one of our children, who will remain nameless. Jenny wasn't very good at doing things first time. She used to either... She was much younger than she is now, much, much younger. She would ignore me or get around to doing it eventually. It became a phrase in our house, Jenny, first time. We did get around it. The star chart worked with Jen. It didn't take very long at all. It might not work with other children. With Jen, it did. It was very successful and took a week or two, and she got no... much less of the stern first time, Jen, from me. Mm. So, yes. Yeah, and we're going to move on now to mom's teachings. I was trying to think of what mom's taught me. It was so much. Our moms teach us so much in our lives. One thing my mom taught me was she was the one that taught me the alphabet and forever imprinted on my brain because she was writing it down and she ran out of paper. It goes... A to O, and still now at my age, P starts here. That's just one of the things that my mum taught me. Alison, what has your mum taught you? Well, did she teach you to clean your teeth, or did your dad teach you to clean your teeth? You don't remember. Right, let's ask one that's a little bit younger. tie your shoelaces. Yes, my mum taught me to tie my shoelaces. Caitlin, your mum taught you anything? Oh. Cook. Brilliant. Xander, has your mummy taught you anything? Everything. Brilliant. Everything he knows. It's his mum's fault. No. Yeah. Oh, yes. Denise, has your mum taught you anything? Everything as well, yeah. To say please and thank you? Yep. That was Dad. And I think Lorna remembers me teaching her that one. Table manners. Is that bit what I think?
Training. Okay, move on,
yeah, there is one thing that I've noticed in two families in particular where young children, when they are greeted, they have looked me in the eyes and said, "I'm very well, thank you. How are you?" Mm. From very, very little. They were tiny. To me, that is special.
Yeah.
That really is special. Mum's teaching's gone really, really well. We also need, Mum and Dad need to teach biblical principles like serving. Sophia, you can set the table today. Okay. Helping Mum. Tidy up. That sort of thing. In prayer or devotions, we need to teach them how to read the Bible. We need to teach them how to pray. We need to teach them to pray at mealtimes. We need to teach them to be grateful to the Lord for all that we have. We'll set them up for success. And we can teach them another biblical principle, tithing. My mom and dad taught me that very, very young. I used to tithe on my pocket money because that is what God has asked us to do. He's commanded us to do. So I was taught that very, very young. Mm. It's not a bad thing to be taught. Mm. It's a good thing to teach your children how to steward their money early.
That's good.
Okay.
So children, what should we do with Dad's commands and Mum's instruction? That's the next part of this little story or this little text. And in verse 21, it says we should take what they say and wrap yourself in those words, in that instruction, in those commands. Wrap yourself in them from head to foot, is what the Message Bible says. Wear them like a scarf around your neck. And the New Living Translation says, keep their words in your heart. And we learnt last week that the heart is more than just on the inside. The heart represents biblically the entire personality. So we're going to ask for two volunteers this morning.
Which have already been volunteered.
To help us illustrate this.
Aaron and Sophia, would you come forward, please?
So let's give Aaron and Sophia a big welcome.
Yay. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Do you want to stand on that side with Lynn? That's probably going to be the easiest thing here. Yeah. Move this over here a bit.
Are you coming too, Addison?
Great.
So we're going to start. I'm hoping your hair will hold this hat up so you can see out. There we go. You had your own hat this morning, didn't you? You can leave that with Lorraine and you want to grab it just now. So we're going to start with wearing a hat. Ooh. There we go. Hats guard and protect our heads from the cold, from the wet, from the heat even. And that's what your parents' teachings and instructions will do. They'll protect your mind. They'll guard your mind. Have you ever had your mum say, "I don't want you to watch that"? Yeah. Or, "I don't want you to listen to that"? There's a reason for it. She knows what you can understand, and she knows what will give you a bad dream or bad memories. Yeah? So she also knows what will give you the wrong view of the world, the wrong view of the situation going on around you. Protects our children from bad influences. Okay, so our teaching, based on what God has said, will protect our children's minds. Verse 22 says, when you sleep, they, that's your teaching, mums and dads, will protect the children. Okay.
Good. The second thing that we put on when we take on board a mums and dads teaching is a jacket. And a scarf is coming as well. Okay, it says in the text there, tie them around your neck like a scarf. And so the jacket and the scarf speaks about, yeah, protecting the main core of the body, doesn't it? Where our physical heart is. So it's covering the part which we often think of as our emotions and the area from where we make our choices. And so as we follow Mum and Dad's instructions, it helps to protect our feelings and helps us to make good decisions as we go forward in life and as we pick up their value system. And so, yeah, we've shared this story before, but for both of our girls, when they started high school, in the first year at high school, they had some struggles related to friends. Lorna, particularly, as we know, is very much a socialite. She loves being around people. She loves connecting with people. And she took a bunch of friends with her into high school. But she came back from school one day really upset. She was upset. And the reason that she was upset was that the group of friends that she'd been with for a while were starting to become quite unkind to each other. And saying nasty words about others and themselves. And she just wasn't enjoying what was being communicated. And so she came home, burst into tears. And we listened to her, and we then affirmed her, encouraged her in terms of what God has for her, and said, yeah, well, God's actually got some new friends lined up for you. And well done on just standing up for the values that you believe in that are right. And, you know, he'll put alongside you some friends who you can walk the road with. And so we prayed, and we prayed with her, and a day or two later, she was connected with two or three other friends who, have the same value system, and she was able to walk through high school with them. And she's in her final year at high school now and has been with those set of friends all the way through. And so that's just an example. When we as parents put a certain value system into our children, it helps them to respond to negativity, to gossip, to things that are not right, and to respond well, and to make a good stand. So we need to teach them, our children, all to say no to certain things. They often say no to... Yeah, they're often born saying no. But we do need to teach our children to say no to the wrong things, and to teach them about some of the dangers in our world, whether it be drugs, alcohol, or the excessive use of alcohol, wrong attitudes towards others, etc. Mm-hmm.
When I was... Can you... sorry. Let me do it this way. One's mine and one's Lorna's, so it's going to be far too big for you. I'm going to hold it in tight.
So this is the next thing we've got to put on.
The belt. We're borrowing a bit from the armour in the New Testament, the armour of God. The belt is belt of truth. One of my earliest memories of my sister, the next one down in age, is my mum and dad saying, "Is that the truth, Alison?" So I'm assuming that she had a tendency to tell untruths. And are you sure that's the truth, Lally? And I remember Lally going, "It's the truth! It's the truth!" Truth holds it all together. The truth in our lives. Telling the truth, children, holds it all together. That's something we need to teach our children.
My mum taught this to me in a very real way. She gave me some money for school one day, and to get something from school. And there was a bit of change left over. So I thought to myself on the way home from school, there was a really great sweet shop on the way home. So I thought, I'll just nip in there. And I got a bit carried away, though, and I spent all the change on the sweets. And I thought, well, I better eat these quickly before I get home. And on arrival at home, after, you know, getting me my customary glass of milk or whatever it was in those days, Mum said, so any change from the what you had to pay for at school today? I said, no, Mum, it's all gone. This is what it costs, you know. And she said, really? You didn't pop in by any chance to the sweet shop on the way home, did you? I said, not at all, unfortunately for me, the sweet shop was just down the road, and she checked up with the sweet shop owner the following day. So I got a roasting when she got home. And soon learnt that it always pays to be honest and to be truthful. So remember that, children, yeah? It pays to be honest and truthful. And as we said last week, you know, integrity and building honesty into our kids is a key value that we can build in as parents, both in terms of our teaching and how we model it. All right, so the next one. This text talks about wherever you walk, their teaching will guide you, will counsel you. Okay, so what do we walk in? There's that song that these boots are made for walking, yeah? So there's some boots here for Sophia. That'd be a little bit bigger than she's used to. And we got some for Aaron as well. I don't know why they're called caterpillars. And so what this means is that when we take on board Mum's and Dad's teaching, wherever we walk, they can guide us, wherever we are, and they can impact our lives. And these truths and this value system we grow into, just as eventually Aaron will grow into boots like these. As we walk out Mum's and Dad's teaching now, we grow in stature, we grow in character, we grow in wisdom, we grow in our relationships with others, and it enables us to take huge strides confidently into our future as we grow and as we put them into practice now. The Bible also talks about wearing the shoes of the gospel of peace, and looking at Aaron here, and looking at these size 9s on him. You know, Aaron's already committed his life to Christ. Remember, about 18 months ago, he got baptized as a believer. And obviously, a huge influence in his life was Zare and Amanda, his parents. He's already mentioned about them on the video earlier, the clip. And so he's following in the footsteps of his dad and his mum, who've given their lives to Jesus. And that's the most wonderful thing a parent can see, isn't it? To see their children coming to the Lord and to follow in their footsteps in terms of their faith. And so as he goes on, he's going to take that good news with him into his high school, into his university life, into his workplace in the future, into his future marriage. And again, and when you're married, I know it seems a long time away, Aaron. you'll be sharing what your mum and dad shared you from the Bible with your children too. Yeah. And so So step out and go forward in that confidently.
The verse 22 that says, wrap this all around you. You two are going to be cooking by the end of it. Wrap it round you. Wrap your mum's and dad's teachings around you. Put them on. When you wake up, they'll tell you what's next. They'll advise you. They'll protect you. They'll guide you. You put them on like you've put on clothes. You don't leave anything off. These clothes are not to be left in lost property. Yeah, how many jerseys? Yeah, never mind. keep them on and keep on putting them on. Mm. Have you got the message? Kids, keep putting them on.
And what's the outcome or the result of doing that? Verse 23 says, for sound advice is a beacon. Good teaching is a light. And moral discipline is a life path. The correction of discipline is the way to life. And a part of parental teaching and instruction is discipline. But discipline is training, isn't it? Remember, Aaron, the Olympics, when people train to get a gold medal, or they train to be the fastest, or jump the highest, or last the longest, or whatever the case may be, finish the race first. They have to discipline themselves, and that's what discipline's about. When your parents say no to some things, and say not yet, or don't go there, or they're training you for a long distance race called life. They're training you to again make good decisions for yourself into the future. And that's what discipline is, isn't it? It's a training process to help our children, setting boundaries so that they don't, when a child is young, they've got very little to appreciation of fear and danger. That's right, and hazards. And so those boundaries need to be put in place, and we need to watch over them as they grow as well, so that they're learning good habits and learning to make good choices for themselves. It's a true expression of God's love. Proverbs 3 and verse 11 to 12 says, my child, don't ignore it when the Lord disciplines you. And don't be discouraged when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So it provides security and safety. It brings wisdom and peace into a home. Proverbs 29 verse 17 says, discipline your children. You'll be glad you did. They'll turn out delightful to live with. They will give you happiness and peace of mind. And so it's a key ingredient in terms of loving our kids, seeing them grow strong and robust and be able to withstand some of the pressures of life, to say no to certain things and yes to others. And it will bring happiness and health as we follow God's ways in our home.
How do we discipline? Well, the first thing is you make sure mum and dad agree with a way that you're going to discipline your children. And to remember that each child is different, and different styles of discipline work with different styles of children. But there are some pointers that are very, very important. The first thing is that they are age appropriate. Sending Kayla to her room isn't quite the same quite the same sort of discipline as sending Lorna to her room, because she loves being out there, and when she was a bit younger, likes being out there. It has to be age appropriate, and that will change as the children get a bit older. It has to be child appropriate, as I said. Any discipline needs to be prompt. Mm. Children's memories aren't quite the same as ours, and they won't be certain what they're being disciplined for if it's not dealt with as soon as possible. Also need to be very clear with the child why you are disciplining them. Mm. They need to know why they're being disciplined. We need to be calm. We need to be very calm as we're doing this. And where possible, discipline them privately and not embarrass them in front of lots of other people. And very, very importantly, is we need to reaffirm our love for them. Not to apologize for disciplining, but to make sure that our children know that we love them and they're ours and they're special.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so the result of walking in mum and dad's teaching, wrapping it around ourselves. That's great, yeah. Okay.
Can you step out of the boots? That's it. Thank you.
Responding to their direction and encouragement and discipline is what you might say is a GPS. G for guidance, P for protection, S for security. Provides their instruction, their commands, their guidance. It's a GPS for our lives. And the text says that it will be like a beacon, like a light, and it will lead us into life. It's a great thing, isn't it? Light and life. Light and life. And so, children, as you obey and honour your parents, God's word also says that it will go well with you and you'll enjoy a blessing and a long life. It's one of the few commands with a promise like that. Honour your mum and dad and it will go well with you and you'll have long life and blessing. And Jesus is our example even in this. Yeah, even though he was Son of God, he became man. And it says in Luke chapter 2 in verse 51 and 52, when he was 12 years old, after they'd had that incident in the temple when he'd been away from his parents for 3 days and they wondered where he was and they were worried sick and they found him and they weren't really sure what was going on, who he really was, you know, talking with people, religious leaders who were two or three times his age and actually answering all their questions. But he subjected himself. He was obedient to them and went back to Nazareth. It actually says that Jesus returned to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph and subjected himself, was obedient to them, and his mother shared all these things in her heart. And it goes on to say that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and in favor with both God and man. And at the end of the day, that's what we want for our children, isn't it? That they will grow in those areas, physically, in their character, in their emotions. They'll be strong socially in relationship with others and spiritually in relationship with God. And it's an awesome responsibility that we have as parents, as mums and dads, to guide our children into their God-given destiny. But it's an incredible privilege for us to do that. And Jesus Christ is our model, and the Holy Spirit is available to us to help us so that we lead them in a godly way.